Well, too good last night with Serbia in the ATP Cup. The crowds have been extraordinary. A lot of people, a lot of fans are suggesting this is a masterstroke from Tennis Australia, the ATP, and also the New South Wales Tennis Organisation. But then there's some players that, well, they're not so sure about how it's going to work. Roger Rashid, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast, mate.
Good morning. Yeah, it's got a bit of all, it's got a bit of everything, hasn't it? There's a bit of commentary around it, but I think more so for the very, very positive side, though.
So I'll start firstly with Nadal's comments and just your personal opinion. Do you believe that the ATP Cup and the Davis Cup can exist on the same calendar?
Oh, look, I think there's potential, it's hard where they sit right now, but the Davis Cup goes after our ATP season finishes, so that's the issue for the players, is that we finish our season with our final, our top eight at our Masters series of Masters event, and then and really most of the other players have finished towards the end of October, right about the end of October, and then if you play Davis Cup, it takes you towards the end of December, and then all of a sudden you've got a quick turnaround for this teams competition, which by the way was. Exactly. This was thought about and was created a lot longer than the Davis Cup new concept. And in fact, there was probably a little bit of copying of the system there. But so I think if they could move it inside the calendar, Davis Cup, which was originally inside our calendar, then there's an opportunity. But at the moment, it looks like they're just too close together for the players, and they need a little bit of recovery time. So that's a bit of sorting out that's going to take place, I think. Over the coming months and through this year.
What do you think would be a more sought-after cup to raise, the Davis or the ATP, Rog?
Well, I like the Davis Cup being, to me, I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I like the Davis Cup where you played home ties in your country because it did bring, that team environment that's where young kids came and watched tennis. And we saw the parochialism of the ATP Cup throughout the first week of January here. First week and a half, and what the crowds that came out, how they supported the sport, their individuals, and it really moved the needle. And so, but I like it where it travels around a bit. So, and the ATP Cup was created, it was created for exactly what we saw, going around Australia, and then getting, and having that sort of team environment to start the year with that parochialism. And we saw the players. I mean, they left everything out on the court, every country, the team camaraderie, the new innovation as well that we were able to put on with the ATP, also Tennis Australia. And, and to be perfectly honest, the rest of the world was watching tennis in week one of the calendar year. And that hasn't generally happened throughout the course in the history of tennis. We sort of put the eyeballs on it at the Australian Open where, we sort of opened with a bang here at the ATP Cup. So it ticked a lot of boxes.
You mentioned the players leaving everything out on the court, and one of those in particular was Alex de Minaur, who I thought was just ultra impressive against Nadal. His speed work was on display. How do you see him going in Adelaide?
Look, he'll play well in Adelaide. I mean, Australians play well in Australia in general. When you've got a home crowd behind you, it's very easy to be highly motivated, be committed to every point in and out, and leave it on the court. I think that's pretty, we get really good support here. And he generally does that anyway, right throughout the course of the year. So that's his DNA. So, he's a top seed here. So he's the expectations are that you make it through, you win a title when you're the top seed. Doesn't necessarily roll out that way. But he's got a good opportunity to continue on his run that he had in the ATP Cup. He played some good tennis, as you mentioned, and this is a great environment here in Adelaide. It's my hometown, but it's a new tournament which kicked off yesterday, last night, and we had a big crowd last night. And it's a good space to prepare for the Aussie Open.
Rog, how does Nick Kyrgios harness that energy that he has come out and stated that he managed to draw down from in that team's environment, and then channel that into his run at the Aussie Open on the singles front?
Yeah, well, he gets a lot of support at the Aussie. There's no doubt about that. So he's on a big court, gets a lot of support, and so he can use the energy of the crowd. What he doesn't necessarily have is the bench right next to him, where there's a lot of motivation with his teammates, and so that fellowship that you don't get in singles. So you've just got your coach's box or your player box, and so he's just got to draw that within. He's got to find a way to utilize that environment as he does in a team competition. And by the way, there are a lot of players, male and female, that do play their best tennis in team competition, and not you know, because they love that sort of the way that, you know, that setup. They love the camaraderie of what team competition brings. So it's going to be, look, but in general, Nick gets great support at the, you know, at the Australian tournaments, and so there'll be no different for him when he steps onto the course at Melbourne Park.
What did you make of Alex de Minaur? That was outstanding to watch live, the way he was attacking Rafa's first serves, that first set. Is he a genuine top 10 player of the future for us?
He's got a potential to, you know, I mean, you never say never when a guy's got that good attitude. He's developing, he's growing. You know, what I've seen day one, you know, when I first laid eyes on him to now, hasn't changed. He's got good work ethic. He's hungry. He loves the competition. He's evolving. You know, he played the game that he had to play against Rafa. You've got to do that over 3 or 4 hours, though, to beat him. And so, you know, because that's, you've got to sort of redline your game, and you've got to take some risk, and you've got to play some high-risk tennis to beat those guys. So he's got a potential. It's, you know, it's important for him to get a good start. Yeah, it's also important to have a healthy body that actually, you know, can keep hitting the repeat button as well throughout the course of the year, because that generally will give you an opportunity to make the top 10 if you're near it. He's near it, but still a fair way away is transitioning from those numbers that, you know, just inside the top 20 to a top 10 player. That's quite a big shift. But he's got an opportunity, you know, when you're knocking on the door and you're chasing, you know, but he needs a sound body. You need to be able to play right throughout the course of the calendar year. And last year, he didn't in the early part of the season. Then he's had an outstanding run through the back half and also starting 220.
It's now been, well, 6 years since Rafa's rolled Novak on hard court. Should those two meet again down in Melbourne, Rog, how can Rafa turn that round after he went down again last night to Djokovic on the hard stuff?
Yeah, they're never too far away, are they? I mean, and, you know, no. I mean, Rafa was up a break in that set. He you know, he was tight, like losing that set. Their matches are pretty close. So I think it's also over the course of the 7 matches getting to an Australian Open final, we've got to remember Rogers hit town. So he's a quiet assassin. He's actually hit town. He's in Melbourne. He's practicing. He's watching what's unfolding. He would have enjoyed watching all that tennis. He watches lots of tennis, or they all do. So there's other players obviously in the mix. But if they do meet, it's their ability to be in the right, you know, physical condition leading into that last match. So it's all about the journey leading in. And so, you know, if they're there, even though the ledge is heavily in favour of Novak, as you mentioned, on hard courts, I think when they get on those courts and they're the big matches on those moments, I really think we're tossing the coin, because they're only decided by a point here or there. Throughout the course of those, you know, best of five set matches. So when you're talking that elite group, so yeah, I sit on the fence with that one. Rafa's trying a lot of different things. You know, he's actually trying to beef up his serve more consistently. He threw in a lot more. I mentioned in Perth when I first saw him, I've noticed a lot of their work that they've done off the court as well. They're doing a lot. You know, he's nice and strong, Rafa, but he's also serve bowling a lot more to start off this year, and actually putting it in play in matches in difficult moments that he would never have normally tried to do. So he's actually sort of extending himself and trying to develop a little bit more, a few more options, getting some data on that, and then sort of rewiring it. So I love the way he goes to work and tries to keep schooling himself. For me, he's one of the great, you know, he's one of the great specimens to watch because of those sort of things that he does on the court.
Roger, we saw Ash Barty, her campaign didn't obviously go according to plan up in Brisbane, but how tough is it for her entering these tournaments with that world number one target on your back, and she's facing players like she did with Jennifer Brady, who have nothing to lose and just come out firing?
Yeah, Brisbane was you know, Ash would have wanted. I mean, Pliskova beating Madison Keys yesterday, 7-5 in the third, was a great, you know, that's a great opening for the women's as well on the WTA Tour. So they've jumped out of the blocks as well very strongly. For Ash, you know, it is what it is. The good thing about Ash is there's no panic button now. She's very composed and with her team around her, and, you know, she calls it as it is. She's got, I love her accountability to the honesty factor. about how she's playing. She commends the girl, her opponent, for playing well. So, you know, she'll be hoping to get the matches here, though. What you don't really want is one match there and not to have a, you know, if you didn't get a good result here and was and happened to be defeated, you've had two matches going into the Australian Open which haven't gone your way. So, therefore, you haven't really got on any form of role or consistency to start the year. So that's not what Ash wants. It won't be the worst case. You know, it won't be the end of the world, but it's not what you want. So she'll be looking to play some quality matches here. Top seed here, obviously. If she can get through and have a good week, you don't necessarily have to win it, but if you can have a good week and she gets a couple of matches under the belt, I think she'll move into the Australian Open and give herself an opportunity. It's going to be an exciting women's draw. Obviously, Serena winning in New Zealand yesterday. So she's put her hand up immediately, guys. And, you know, so she would have to be the slight favourite going into the Australian Open, I would think.
All right. And how did you go last night, mate? I know that the Adelaide International Rally for Resilience took place and your particular foundation as well, Roger Rashid Sports Foundation. Was it a success, mate?
Yeah, it was a great success. We had we were putting on a fundraiser on that night. It was always going to be called Rally for Resilience, and then the funds were going into distributed in the extreme communities, which I'm working with my foundation. We try and we use a sport of medicine to save children's lives in extreme communities. And but we decided as soon as the fires took place and obviously the devastation, I flipped that on its head and made sure that the funds are going to be generated into our local South Australian communities that. Obviously in Kangaroo Island and also through the Adelaide Hills. So we had about 3,500 people there. The cricket was on as well. So the capacity is 4.8 in that stadium. So to get that sort of numbers on the first night, we raised some really good money. We don't know the exact figure, and then I'll work with the state government to actually distribute them into the right pathway. So, yeah, no, it was really, really well supported, and it's we'll continue on this week as well in the fundraising. And tennis itself has been, like every other sport as well, and, you know, has jumped on board pretty strongly. And the ATP guys donated $750,000 to animal wildlife welfare as well last night. There'll be more raised. So I think, you know, outside, we'll probably generate, you know, $2 or $3 million at the end of this from a player's perspective that will go back. So it's as devastating as it is, you know, it's time now to repair, and everyone's playing their part.
Mate, you're a champion. We'll talk to you in the coming weeks as we get ready to head to Melbourne Park.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.